I hope you'll be in prayer for us this morning as we try to come before you. I want to, I guess, as a way of kind of a reminder, at least turn back and look at a couple of things this morning. We've been talking about the blessings that come from God and how can we better know the blessings of God in our lives. And as we've done that, you know, it kind of leads over to, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to know how to be blessed. I want to know how to be in a place where I can be blessed. And then I want to understand what it means to be blessed. You know, we can get the idea. There's a lot of people that look at folks in the world and say, boy, those folks sure are blessed. Well, you know, do they meet the Bible definition of being blessed, or do they meet the world's definition of being blessed? A lot of times the world's definition is how much you have and what you've got. But that might not necessarily fit the Bible's definition. It could be a part of it, but not necessarily how the Bible sees being blessed. So, you know, as we kind of continue to dig into this, I just want us to think about that. And as we started this back a few weeks ago, I think one of the places we started was Hebrews chapter 2, because I recognize everybody hasn't been here during this time, and folks have been various places. But he says in chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. The whole first chapter of the book of Hebrews is trying to point the Hebrew brethren back to Christ. And remember that Christ is better than Abraham, he's better than the fathers, he's better than Moses, he's better than angels, he's better than prophets. All of these things are pointing us back to Jesus Christ. And so when he gets to this, then he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Heard about what? Heard about Christ. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard about him and about his word. And those that were eyewitnesses of those things that he said ought to be a place of prominence in our lives. So in looking at that, last week we talked about a little bit more about the parable of the sower and the seed. And how it's important for us to recognize that we are the ground and the seed that the Bible says is the Word of God. And sometimes the seed falls on hard and stony ground. It sprouts up for a little while and quickly fades away. And that's the case with you and me. Sometimes the Word of God, we don't anymore hardly hear it here on a Sunday morning until it's already, you know, the fowls of the air, which is Satan himself, steals it away from us and gets our minds focused on other things. And the next thing you know, it's gone. And so I'm going to turn over there and make sure I don't foul up my remembrance of the parable. But as we go a little bit further there, I'll turn to Mark chapter 4 if you're following along with me. And he says, there's also those that it says, some fell by the wayside, were consumed by the fowls of the air. Some fell on stony ground, so I got the first one wrong. Some fell by the wayside and were devoured by the fowls of the air. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And then it says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And it says, others fell on good ground. So, I don't know about you, but Christ gives four examples of the kind of ground that the seed can fall on. Three out of the four don't really produce that much. That ought to be a warning to God's children that we are more like the ground. Sometimes we let Satan and the things of this world steal it away from us before we hardly get out of here. Sometimes because we're so shallow in our earth, we don't let the seed really take root till the sun comes along, and the Bible talks about some trial, some trouble, or tribulation spouts up, and quickly you run off. You know, you begin to get persecuted for Christ's sake, or persecuted because of the Word's sake. And I'll tell you, it's going to become more and more important for us in the world that we're living in today when it talks about being persecuted because of your beliefs, you got to have more than just a little bit of shallow dirt about you as far as a Christian, my friends. You're going to have to toughen up and break up your Christian ground a little bit so that the Word of God takes root in you and begins to be who you are and what you're proud to be. And so then he goes on and says, some of it fell among the thorns, and they grow up. And he says, that's the cares of the world. People sometimes let the cares of this world override the things of God's Word. And they let the Word of God gets choked out by, and what are the cares of the world? I mean, we could go down a whole list, right? I mean, I've got the comprehensive list here this morning. But, I mean, we can let anything of the world take more importance than the Word of God. And whether it's jobs, sometimes our own family takes more importance than the Word of God. And we let all of these cares choke the Word of God out. And the next thing you know, it's overgrown with thorns and thistles and it's not bringing forth fruit. And he says, some falls on good ground. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know some of the seed falls on good ground and it brings forth 20-fold, 40-fold, 30-fold, 60, whatever the words are, and some bring forth 100, you know. So, hey, I'm thankful that some of it falls on good ground. But I think part of our job is to make sure that God's Word's falling on good ground because we're the ground. I know, when I say making sure it falls on good ground, I know that the only way the seed takes effect and the Word of God takes effect is if you've been born again by the Spirit of God. That's God's work, not your and mine. And being born again from above is His work, and that happens before the Word's ever going to take root. But once we realize we've been born again, then we ought to cultivate the spiritual side of our nature and the godly side of our nature instead of falling over into the world so much so that the Word of God can take effect and can take root when it comes along. So as he goes on in a further part of that there in Mark, where I think one of the places that I ended up at last week, he goes on and he says the same thing that he says in the book of Revelation almost to every church. He makes the comment, he says, in verse 23, he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got the ability to hear, and I'm not talking about natural ears on the side of your head now, I'm talking about if God has blessed you with spiritual birth and you have a spiritual ear to hear, then our job is to be hearing. We need to be at a place where we can hear. And when we're here, be here. Y'all, if you didn't catch it, you'll catch it in a little bit. When you're here, be here. Let your mind and your thought be here. Take heed to what you hear. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Be focused on why you're here so you can hear. It's a lot of ears, isn't it? He says, take heed what you hear and what measure, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. I think hearing is a lot like a lot of other kind of exercise. You have to learn to focus on being a good hearer. How many husbands and wives know that? You've got to focus on hearing. Otherwise, you don't hear. You kind of hear it. I'm guilty. She knows it. You know, sometimes I hear part of it. I'm like, huh? What? Because I wasn't fully engaged in the conversation. And I'll tell you, sometimes we're not fully engaged in hearing the Word of God when we're here. And we get a little piece and a little part. And then we wonder why it gets choked out, why it doesn't bear fruit in our lives. He says, take heed to what you hear. And with the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. If we're really hearing, you'll get hungry for it. Okay, and you'll want to hear more. But the warning is this: for he that hath to him shall be given, but he that hath not shall him to, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. I think part of our warning as God's children is we need to make use of our hearing muscle. If we don't, we may lose it, and we get to where we don't care. We get to where it's not important to us anymore. So take heed what you hear, but also, if a man have ears to hear, let him hear. pay attention. God will bless you in the hearing. So with that, I think it's if we think about being blessed, one of the ways to be blessed is to take heed what you hear. The second then is to, if you have ears to hear, hear. It's going to bless you. So with that, I want to turn over. It's a couple places I want to go, but I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, I think, first, because he talks about being blessed. And I think the blessings that we find here in chapter 5, they don't necessarily fit the world's definition of being blessed. But I got news for you. To those of you that have an ear to hear, I'm going to tell you, it exactly fits Jesus' definition of being blessed, because Jesus is the one giving the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And he says, and seeing, and it might be interesting as I look back through this, and I'm probably like you. You say, Brother Charles, I've heard Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. I've heard this time after time after time. Okay, I have too. Do you know it's kind of interesting when you go down through there and look through this a little bit and maybe run some of the references that are probably right there inside your center column reference of your Bible, that you find that most of those references that probably I didn't look deep enough to find, but I'll be willing to say all of them are just verses plucked out of the Old Testament, where Jesus reached back over and pulled out a verse here and a verse there, and he's put them all together, for it's from Psalms or Isaiah or from various places, to say, here's what being blessed is. And so seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean, poor in spirit? Humble. It's talking about the humble, the poor and the contrite in spirit. If we turned over, and maybe I can find the right place, I think it's Isaiah, at least in one place, but he talks about this, Isaiah chapter 66. He says, thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. I think I mentioned this back a few weeks ago, because as I read that, it reminds me of a political statement. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else built that. Well, the Lord could actually say that. He could actually look and say, "Where's the house you build unto me? What have you done? All those things, for all those things hath my hand." Well, let's go back. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man, what gets God's attention? If I'm praying, or if I'm wanting to be in a place where I'm being blessed, I want to know what gets God's attention. Well, you say, well, probably the guy that's out yelling and shouting and crying the loudest, that's probably the one that gets God's attention. Now what this says, this is the man, this is the man that I will, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. You mean being a big braggart is not going to get God's attention? You mean I can't be like the prophets of Baal in the grove and stand out there and yell louder because maybe my God has gone to sleep and maybe that'll get God's attention? Not according to what this says. It says, to this man will I look. To this man will I pay attention. He that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at the word of God. This, take heed what you hear. Take heed to what you hear, because this is the kind of person that God listens to and pays attention to. He that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. Contrite. Sees himself as small. Doesn't see himself as big. Sees himself as somebody not important, maybe. Poor in spirit. Poor and contrite. Humble. And trembling at the word of God. Okay, so he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, is within you. Why? Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So, you know, a lot of times it's not about seeing all the things that maybe sometimes people think of as the kingdom of heaven. But what is the kingdom of heaven, at least here on this earth? I understand maybe a portion of it is when we assemble ourselves together here in the church. But another portion of it is how God is speaking to our hearts. And I'll tell you, on an individual basis, you and I are more in the kingdom of heaven when we're poor and contrite and humble and trembling at the word of God than we are when we're going around making some big show about everything. You know, who is he that has the kingdom of heaven? Maybe he's somebody that helps his neighbor and never goes around and tells a soul. He doesn't go out and make a big deal out of it. He just helps where he can help, does what he can do, doesn't say a word, because it's not about him. It's not about getting attention for me. It's all about doing what God would have done. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Didn't say will be, shall be, was, is. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're living in it right now. When you're humble and poor and contrite and trembling at the word of God, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Okay. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think over and over again, I've told you in times past, this is not just talking about mourning about, you know, okay, I've lost a loved one. I think this is more those that are mourning over their sins. When God sees us mourning and saying, you know what? I failed again. Not that I'm proud of failing again, but when I'm of a poor and a contrite spirit, trembling at the word of God, and I recognize I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Thank God, that's the way it works. Saved by the grace of God, but mourning over the fact that, you know what, I messed up again. Because you know what really bothers me is the people messing up that don't even mourn over it. They don't care. I did it again. I got you. And you know what? I'm glad. That really bothers you. But the person that messes up, oh, David. You know, David was like that. David sometimes had to have somebody help point out to him that he had messed up. But whether it was the prophets that came to him and told him, David, thou art the man. You know, when he told him the story about the one that had taken his neighbor's, and he told him the whole story about taking his neighbor's flock and taking his neighbor's land, the house next to him and all this. And David's like, you let me know who that is and I'll go get him. And the prophet says, David, it's you. When you had the man killed in battle and took his wife away from him, took his wife, then had him killed in battle and so forth. He says, you're the man I'm describing right here. You know what David's reaction was? Immediately he humbled himself and trembled and asked God to forgive him, because he said, I've sinned against thee and thee alone. David realizes that ultimately our sins hurt individuals a lot of times. But ultimately our sins are against him. Our sins offend him. And so he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God, when God knows and hears you cry out into your to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you're really repenting, God will give you the comfort of heart that you need. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. I struggle with this one. I see what it says. I understand meek. I think I do. You know, the Bible says, Jesus himself says, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Jesus Christ was a man who wasn't a big a braggart, yet he was a man who stood up for the things of the Word of God. He was a man that went into the temple and chased the money changers out with a whip and told them they had turned his father's house, a house of prayer, into a house of merchandise. Sounds meek, right? Well, we get our definitions of what meek is confused a lot of times. It's a poor, contrite spirit, a humble spirit, yet with power. Jesus Christ had power. He had a power about him that came across. And you know what? At the same time, he was a person that loved, no doubt, loved the Father, because he was obedient to the Father in every way. Yet in part of that obedience, there was a time when he came time for action, he chased the men out. He was also a man that went all the way to the cross, knowing and submitting himself to those that misjudged him, judged him wrongly, submitting to that because there was a greater good coming out of him submitting to that, because his death on the cross gave you and I the victory and saved us and delivered us by his shed blood. And he could be meek in that, even though he had the power to strike them down, and he would have been right in doing it.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? We get this thing of what meek is, and he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That word earth, you know, is always, I'm like, what do you mean earth? Well, it could be a region, a country, a nation. But it's literally talking about this land in which we live. And I'll tell you, when I think we're meek, you go back, and there could be a lot of people throw a lot of stones today. Brother Austin and I were talking last night about, you know, the uniqueness of the United States of America. He didn't know we were talking about that, but that's what we were talking about. We were talking about the uniqueness of the United States of America, because look how blessed we've been. There were people that, in spite of what all the books may say today, and some of them may still have it right, I don't know. But sometimes they will attribute all the reasons that people came here, and there were some that did, that came here just for the money. But that wasn't the reason everybody came here. There were those that came here because they wanted to get away. They wanted a place where they could worship. They didn't want to be hindered by the king that was telling them, you can't worship like this. And so they came. Some came. That's the reason originally the colonies, as they began to be established, you had various religions that were the set religions in those colonies, because they came there for their religious freedom. And while they were doing that, they hindered other people's religious freedom. Kind of interesting concept, but that's what they were doing. And so as they came here, they were looking to get away. And this country was blessed. We got into kind of an economics discussion. He was talking about, he's been in Rwanda. He says, you know, Rwanda's landlocked in Africa. It's surrounded by other African countries. They don't have a river that goes to the ocean. I mean, they do, but I mean, a navigable waterway that goes. They don't have a Warrior River, or like a Mississippi River, or, you know, other great rivers in this land and country, Ohio and others that we can think of, that you come right off the ocean and grow up in it, and you're in the United States of America. So, well, there's various states, yeah. But you know the way it works in this country? Yeah, even when they began to build the railroads in this country, you know, you can go from Alabama to Mississippi and still in the United States of America, and you can get your goods from one side of this country to another side of this country, and you don't have to worry about getting to the border of another state and somebody saying, well, you can't enter in here, or maybe we didn't build railroads over here in our place, like you might get from Rwanda to Uganda to Kenya to wherever. And people can't even get their goods to a port. And they can't get to, we're blessed. I mean, the way this country was developed and laid out for our good, you know, for us to be able to earn a living. And even some of the natural things. We were talking about a lot of things. I mean, when we were coming in here to this nation, our people landed on the eastern shore, and suddenly, you know what? There were woods everywhere. You could cut down a tree. And you could build a house, and you could build a fire. Some parts of the world, you can land on the coast. There are no trees. There's nothing there to hardly build a house with. And if you did, who would want to? Anyway, it's just on it. I mean, we're blessed. And he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There were people that came here to this part of the world. And you say, well, okay, well, weren't there meek people in other parts of the world? I'm sure there were, and I'm sure they've been blessed. But I'm here to tell you, when you look at our nation, I believe there were some meek people that looked at the power of God and God's Word and looking for His blessing in their life. And you know what? They inherited a portion of this earth. And we continue to inherit a portion of this earth where we live. Okay, so he says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. So let's go back and rehash this picture for us real quick. And we'll do this again maybe in just a little bit. Take heed to what you hear, okay? And then if you've got an ear to hear, hear. Be here and hear, all right? And then he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Totally different from the braggadocious world that we live in, where everybody thinks the way to be somebody is to brag about who you are, and what you've done, and so forth. Blessed are they that mourn. A lot of times today in the country that we live in, you think the blessed are the people that go around and brag about what all they've done to others. All right? So, blessed are they that mourn over their sins. They shall be covered. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love to read, and I could go back to every one of these. Do you notice that in every one of these where it's talking about this, he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know that's a promise from God? That's a promise that's sure and steadfast, that if you're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, if that's your desire, God's going to fill you up. Oh, isn't that great? Blessed are those which mourn. God's going to comfort you. Blessed are they which are meek. You shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wait a minute. You mean by giving mercy, I can receive mercy? That's what the Word of God says. When you show compassion and mercy to others, God's mercy and compassion flows back to you. And not only that, I think about a verse of Scripture. You couldn't mention all of Brother Charles's verses of Scripture in an obituary. You just couldn't. But he talks about, blessed are those have given to others, because men will give to you good measure, pressed down, packed together, and overflowing. Right? So he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. A lot of times we wonder how come we have so much trouble, but at the same time we have no compassion on anybody else. We don't say, I forgive you, I'm sorry, I'm sorry to see your situation. Maybe I can help your situation. Maybe I can do something to help you. And we don't want to do that for others. And then we wonder how come we don't ever have anybody, want to help us on anything. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word pure, by the way, means clean. Blessed are the clean at heart. Is your heart a clean heart? Well, if you're like me, you'd have to say, no, I'm sorry. My heart's probably not as clean as I want it to be. I'm not always thinking pure thoughts. I'm not always thinking the best of other people. I'm not looking over others like I should sometimes. But he says, blessed are the pure in heart, the clean, for they shall see God. Man. What a blessing to be in our lives. You want to be blessed? Be more of a clean-hearted person. Be more of a doing the right thing kind of person. Let your heart be pure toward others. Let your charity be overflowing toward others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I want you to think about this too, because, as I go through a sermon like this and looking over some of these attributes, think of the opposites as you're looking at this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, blessed are the braggadocious, because they don't get the kingdom of heaven. Maybe I should put it the other way. Cursed are those that are not poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is not theirs.
That's right.
Cursed are they that don't mourn, for they shall not be comforted. Cursed are those that are not meek, for they shall not inherit the earth. Cursed are those which do not hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be hungry. They shall be empty. Cursed are those that are not merciful, for they shall not obtain mercy. And cursed are those that are not pure in heart, for they shall not see God. Wow. Now, when you start looking at it like that, you say, Wait a minute. I want to be over here on the blessed side.
That's right.
I want to see God. I want to be more pure in heart. I want to be more loving. I want to be more charitable. I want to be more forgiving. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness because God's promised me I'll be filled. Wow, what a great thing. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is where I stopped a minute ago, right? So blessed are the warmongers, or cursed are the warmongers, for they shall not be called the children of God. You say, well, okay, Brother Charles, we're talking about out here in the world, right? No, I think he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. And so, you know, you can have warmongers among church folks, among the disciples. You can have those that are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And that's the reason he's teaching and preaching this to them. You want to be blessed? You want your church to be blessed? You want your family to be blessed? Hunger and thirst after these things. Be more meek. Be more poor and of a contrite spirit. Be more merciful to others. Don't be a war maker. Be a peacemaker. Be a person trying to bring people together instead of trying to drive them apart. Trying to heal up families. Trying to work together with one another. Be a peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Again, cursed are those which are not persecuted for all kinds of other things' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's another one where he says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Isn't it interesting how you just emphasize one word? You know, it kind of makes you pay attention. He says, he didn't say, blessed are you if you're persecuted and you deserve it. He said, blessed are you if you're being persecuted and accused falsely for my sake. If people are jumping on you because you're a follower of Christ, say amen. Amen. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And for so persecuted they, the prophets, which were before you. Man. So you get this picture of being blessed. Doesn't sound like the world's definition of being blessed. I also went over, and as we were looking, boy, I really want to get, sometimes y'all want to read ahead. So we'll go over to Proverbs chapter 8 sometime and look through Proverbs chapter 8, because you're going to find some language over there. Psalm 37. You're going to find over there the psalmist David says, and I'm going to turn over there before I go to the other place that I want to go. But, you know, to kind of think about this, David gives us a word, and, you know, many of you may even be familiar. Psalm 37, he says, fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't look at those that are getting ahead here because they're evil workers and sinners of all kinds, and they appear to be prospering. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. He said, you're going to see their day. And he goes on through this. Wonderful, wonderful psalm. Proverbs 8, wonderful things. So the idea of being blessed begins to look different. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. And we'll see if I can just go through some of these things real quickly. But I'm going to start with it's kind of like reading the end of the story first. Okay, I'm going to read the end of the story first here in this portion of Luke chapter 10. And he turned to his disciples, verse 23, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, you say, well, Brother Charles, he was talking to those people that were standing right in his presence. Okay, I know that. But I'm going to tell you that you're as blessed in some ways as they are, because as the record of God's word that we have, it's almost sometimes like we're standing in the presence of Jesus, hearing his word spoken to us. Blessed are those which see him, which see the things that you see and hear the things that you hear. Do we ever realize that we're blessed because of what we see and hear out of Jesus? Wow. And we sit around sometimes and say, well, I'm moaning, you know, I've got this problem, that problem. You're blessed. You're blessed. So as he sent out, this is the culmination of a portion of Scripture where he sent out the 70. And he sent them out to preach. And he says, and he told them as he sent them out, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Yeah, can you imagine that? He gets 70 people and he says, I'm sending you out. And oh, by the way, I'm sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Well, okay, I think I'll volunteer for that job. You know, lambs among wolves. You ever seen that play out? And he says, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house thou ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. Be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. So if you go and say, peace be unto this house, and the Son of Peace is already there, Jesus Christ, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, that they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. We have some examples of things like that going into places, you know, and you're looking at the food and you're like, oh, I don't know about all this. He says, eat what's set before you. And he says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you not. Go your ways, go out into the streets of the same and say, even the dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It was close to even to those that didn't receive them when they came. And he says, and I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Oh, wow. Do you remember Sodom? God rained fire upon Sodom and destroyed it. He said, the city that doesn't receive you, that I'm sending there to preach and to teach the word of God, the city that doesn't receive it, it'll be more tolerable for them than it was. He says, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than it'll be for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. Wow. And he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. Okay, so now he's carrying it all the way down and said, I'm sending you 70 out. They don't receive you, they're not receiving me. They don't receive me, they're not receiving the Father which sent me. And so he's going, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, think of that poor and contrite spirit. They come back and they're, Lord, the devils are subject to us. Hallelujah. And he says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You want to know where to rejoice? Rejoice about the fact you're a child of God. Don't rejoice about what things you might do here in my name, because really the only reason you're able to do it is I'm giving you power to do it. I'm giving you that power. And it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and thanked God for these things and all the things that are delivered unto me of the Father and so forth. And he turned and said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. What do you see? You know, and so a lot of times we don't realize we're blessed right here in the kingdom. And we are. We're blessed right here. And so we need to be thankful for what God has shown us among the things of the earth and from His Word. Take heed to what you hear. If you're here, hear. and relearn to think about what does it mean to be blessed. And redefine it according to God's definition and not the one that the world tries to often give us. And we'll find out that we may be more blessed than we realize. Even though we're not the mighty, powerful, rich of this world, yet God has blessed us. May God bless you to think about this.